This project has been funded by the Department of Communities, Disability Services in Western Australia.
Hello and welcome to this course on Shared Management for Service Providers. This is part one of module one. There are two parts to this module. All of the modules are available as videos and podcasts, so welcome aboard however you're accessing this. It's great to have you with us. I'm Leighton Jay and I'm going to be your host throughout the course. Today I'm joined by Leanne Pearman and Rosie Lawn, who are co-presenting this module with me. Leanne is the co-CEO of WA's Individualised Services, or WASE for short.
Hey Leighton, hi Rosie. Hi everybody.
And Rosie is the CEO of Avivo Live Life, a West Australian-based community service provider that provides services across the disability, aged care and mental health sectors. Rosie is also a board member of WASE.
Yeah, hi Leanne and Leighton, and hello everyone.
We want to start by acknowledging Australia's Indigenous peoples and their connections to country.
This is really important to us at WASE. We pay our respects to Australia's Aboriginal elders and people, past, present and future, and we recognise their ongoing connection to land, waters and community.
Yeah, and we recognise the inherent value of their history and culture and their ongoing contribution to Australia's cultural, social, political and economic development.
When you accessed this module, it included the Module 1 workbook. We want you to open the workbook now. You'll see that the introduction summarises what the module's about and what the learning outcomes are.
And you'll also notice that there are activities for you to do in the workbook. And these include places for you to write the answers on and to any questions that were asked.
And we'll guide you to each activity, so hopefully you won't get lost as we go through. Pause the recording now and have a quick look through the workbook if you want to. Make sure that you find your place at activity 1.0 before continuing. And if you're listening to this as a podcast while you're driving or doing something else and you can't access the workbook right now, you'll need to make sure you do the activities in order to get real value from this and the other modules.
So in this activity, we're going to be discussing about the why it's important that providers really do think seriously about offering shared management. It might be really helpful to make notes while you listen in.
Yeah, it's only when you understand why shared management is important that you're really like to get motivated about it.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's possible that listening to our discussion may help you to decide whether shared management is or isn't for you as a provider, or maybe it's just not for you right now at this time.
Yeah, shared management won't be for everyone, but we think it's important to know about it and think carefully about why it's important before you decide not to offer it.
To identify our first reason why we think it's important, we're briefly going to discuss the development of the National Disability Insurance Scheme, or the NDIS, because that's a really important contextual factor. You've probably heard somebody say in the last few years that the NDIS is the most significant social policy reform in Australia since Medicare in the 1970s and 80s.
Yeah, and for people with disability and their family members and service providers, the NDIS is such an exciting opportunity to completely change how people with disability are included, both in our society and across our communities, by redesigning how disability services are funded and delivered right across Australia.
So transitioning from different state-based systems to a national NDIS is creating many challenges. That's not really a surprise. A change this big was always going to take time to design and to implement. But as we go through that process, it's important to remember just how much of a revolution the NDIS is supposed to be.
That's right, Leighton, because it is a completely new system built on laws that promote the freedom and the right of all people with disability to make their own choices across all aspects of their lives.
Do you really think it's that different to anything we had before the NDIS?
At a system level, Rosie, yeah, I do. I think it's fair to say that before the NDIS, Well, historically anyway, services were mostly designed by people who didn't have a disability, and also making decisions for people with a disability, but it always being in their best interests. So the NDIS shift, I think, enables people to make decisions for themselves, and I think this becomes then a genuine, real paradigm shift.
Yeah, people talk about things being a paradigm shift when sometimes they're not, but I agree with you. I think this really is a paradigm shift. It's easy to lose sight of that element of it. And at a fundamental level, the NDIS is a human rights reform. It's not a caring reform. It's designed to enhance the human rights of people with disability, specifically by enabling them to make their own decisions and to be truly included in our society and communities.
That's absolutely right, Leighton. The NDIS Act does prioritise the right of people with disability to make decisions for themselves. And this does include the right to be supported to make decisions when they need that. So there are quite a few clauses, if you have the chance to read it, at the beginning of the Act that explicitly name this as a right.
Yeah, and I'm not somebody that really goes reading legislation very often, but I do find those first few pages of the NDIS Act really easy to read and really worth reading. But one thing that I notice is that because we don't say that the NDIS is a radical change very often, lots of service providers, it seems to me, are trying to move into the NDIS using service and business models that are now out of date. They're relying on models that were built last century, even though we're now operating in this new paradigm.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Leighton. And when those earlier, well, these earlier models were developed, they were okay, quite good even in some cases, and they were an advance on what went before them. But the world has moved on, and the operating environment is really different now. So some models have passed their use-by date, and new service models that prioritise the rights of people with a disability to make their own choices and decisions are needed.
Yeah, and shared management is certainly one of those.
Okay, so I just want to kind of pause for a moment, summarise the discussion so far in terms of the question, which was why should service providers offer shared management or think about offering shared management? I'm really hearing two things here, but I'm aware that we haven't really discussed what shared management is yet. So I just want to make the link between our discussion and shared management a bit clearer.
Good idea, Leighton. So I also think there are two things here. Firstly, I think shared management by its very nature puts people in charge of their own services much more than traditional or typical service models have been able to do. So in that way, it does enhance the right of people to make their own decisions about their lives, about the things that are important to them.
What was your second reason?
Second one is around that shared management services are absolutely relevant to achieving transformation of services that the NDIS intends to do.
Yeah, I agree with both of those reasons. I think it's worth adding something we already know about the outcomes. People who have more self-direction achieve. We've seen here and elsewhere that people who self-direct frequently, you know, achieve better outcomes in terms of real inclusion, making and keeping friends, and really being a contributing member to their communities.
So they're kind of life outcomes, really, aren't they?
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that self-direction isn't about funding. It's about that choice that people have over the direction of their life. So that's a really important point, Rosie. So we are really saying that if you're a disability service provider in Australia, then this shared management course could be worth it for you to take a look at. And it could be something new for you to bridge from the past of what you have been providing into something different, something more exciting. And even though you might not know it yet, it might be just the bridge you need. So stay with us.
Is there anything either of you specifically want to say about the benefits that providers get from offering shared management?
Sure. Look, I don't think you can overemphasise the importance of the points we've just been discussing. Well, they're not just about better services for people. Providers also benefit. People who share manage constantly challenge us to think about ways we can improve all of our services and systems. You know, in the NDIS environment, all of our services and systems need to support and enable people to make their own decisions. So I would say we benefit directly by offering shared management.
Okay.
I just want to add one more reason. A really big benefit for providers is that shared management contributes to the organisational culture and the development of that and the maintaining of that. As Rosie said, it's helped them to be able to redesign what they need to do to be more responsive. And I think that's a really important thing that we can't forget.
Yeah. If we're talking culture, then it makes the course directly relevant to executives and board members, really, doesn't it, Leanne?
Well, certainly it weighs, we think that for sure, because as we know, all leaders today know that they are responsible for their own organisational culture.
Yeah.
And that culture is incredibly important for a whole bunch of reasons, but particularly including performance and results.
And that's in all organisations. It's not just our sector, isn't it?
Mm.
For example, this diagram that you see shows that culture is based on people's beliefs and assumptions, as we know it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they directly influence people's behaviours, actions, decisions, and interactions, and it's these things that produce results.
Yeah.
And because shared management's five principles are built on some really explicit and important beliefs and values, that services that align with them are going to constantly push your staff towards what behaviours and actions you want them to have as they're representing your organisation.
And we've actually dedicated the whole of Module 2 to exploring the relationship between the five principles you just made mention of there and organisational culture.
Yeah, I can give you a quick example of this.
Uh-huh.
One of the shared management principles is that shared management is built on partnership of mutual respect, in which the person and or their family member is the leader.
Yep.
So our respect for people with disability is constantly growing and being stretched. And we believe this shows up in our behaviours, like really listening to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My caution to all of this is that before you as a provider can offer good shared management, you do need to have a culture that is really as close to the shared management principles to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
We've really seen that that's become important, because otherwise you might need to do some very purposeful cultural work first. Shared management is not a silver bullet to fix any sort of major cultural problems within the organisation, but it can help it.
Yeah. I think you're right about that, Leanne.
Yes, I'd say it's definitely worth doing that work.
Okay, well, that's a great note to finish on. So I just want to summarise the discussion by naming the whys that we've identified here. Why should providers offer shared management?
Shared management absolutely upholds and enhances that each person's right to decide things about their own life and their services and how they want them.
Yeah, it is highly aligned with the intentions of the NDIS as spelled out in the Act.
Many people will achieve better outcomes and have better lives.
It can potentially inform the ongoing improvement of your service.
It will have a positive impact on your organisation's culture.
Okay, what's next, Leanne?
Well, to complete Module 1, you'll need to finish Part 2, where we'll explain what shared management is in some detail. So if you're listening to this as a podcast but haven't quite done Activity 1.0 yet, might be an idea to do that before going on to our second recording.
Yep, and so that's the main focus of Part 2.
After Part 2 of this module, then you'll be ready for Module 2.
And Module 2 is where we pick up that point you were making earlier, Rosie, about shared management principles and organisational culture.
Oh, great. Our experience is that is really important.
Leanne, Rosie, thanks both for joining me to present this module. We're going to keep our discussion going in Part 2, so don't go away.